welcome to a two-hour play-by-play edition of the match of the Fan Drive Time on Sportsnet.
No.
Ben Ennis and Stephen Brun. I commandeered the remote control and did put on Capital One's The Match in the studio here, Steven. So you're forced to watch it unless you grab a remote. But it's too far. It's out of arm's length for
That's
you.
That's true. I can't reach. What can I do?
Yeah, there is...
Yeah. Well, I think... Look, to each his own, right? Like, it's fine. It's just fine. No one's going to get hurt. It's fine.
Here's the best thing I can say about this Capital One's The Match between... two gentlemen that absolutely loathe each other, or at least realize that there was a marketing opportunity to loathe each other.
Hang on a second. Yeah, very good. Nice qualifier. Nicely done, Ben.
Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau. This is it. I think this is it. This is the culmination of the, and I'm like doing the air quotes thing so vigorously. I'm injuring myself that this rivalry.
Yes.
Is over after this, I think. That's the best thing I can say about this.
This will settle it?
These 12 holes
of golf that they're playing will settle it? Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Well, happy Black Friday to you.
Yes, happy Black Friday. That's why this is on, right? Because America is, paused. Taking a pause from shopping
and
trying to get away from their families, and it's time to watch TV. So, right? You've had enough quality family time now.
That's right.
So we can watch these two... guys. How can you have a rooting interest in this? It's not possible, is
no,
it?
No. Well, I know you've been following it closely.
I have.
It started off in a way that was seemingly organic, that Brooks Koepka was caught in an outtake of an interview, like rolling his eyes as Bryson DeChambeau walked by. And that was actually kind of fun for
I remember that.
30 seconds. 30 seconds was like the lifespan of this rivalry actually being fun until they realized that, people are interested in this.
Yes.
We could drum up some interest in each other if we just feed into this. And they did it. And ever since, it's been disgusting. And if it actually interests you, I feel sorry for you. I truly do. And I love golf. So this should be right up my alley. But I could not. I have a morbid curiosity about it. That's it, Steven.
I see there's no gallery, right? I'm just looking here. Probably, and it's Vegas where they can do anything. So it's not, is not COVID. So why don't they have people yelling and heckling? Because isn't that, wouldn't that make it even more delightful?
They're playing at a super exclusive golf club.
Where they don't let people in?
I don't know. I see a lot of water around there. Maybe it's just not designed for
humans, human occupancy.
I don't know. There are some people. So it's probably the richest of the rich.
And
like there's a couple CEOs.
Look at the color of that grass. So this is, again, as I did just point out to you off air, this is Las Vegas right now. Like Lake Mead is draining, right? Essentially, nothing's going to come out of the taps in Vegas in about 6 months.
That's right.
Right? Except on this golf course where they have a water-like substance, which is probably not really water.
No.
Trickling away. Looks like a little mountain stream there, right? And it's very green. The grass is very, very green.
Uh-huh. Like too green.
Yeah. So thank God when it all comes out, maybe then when the water runs out in their taps in Vegas and they storm the Wynn golf course and say, we must have this water, give us our water, they will drink that, whatever that substance is. I would say, I think it's like the water, if you've been in Las Vegas casinos, which I have because of boxing.
That's the only reason?
Yes, I don't gamble.
Oh.
But I would if there was a Sportsnet betting thing, I would gamble my house away, and maybe I will. But other than that, no, I don't gamble. But there's, there are different kinds of, there are often streams, and there's a fake Venice, right?
Yes.
There's fake various things. And then they had Cleopatra's barge in Caesars.
Mm-hmm.
We floated on some kind of a water-like substance.
I've stayed at Caesars. I don't remember that. The Venetian is still around.
Yeah, they have canals in the Venetian, right?
Yep.
And in Paris, they have, rude people who aren't actually French. It's fantastic.
That's right.
The fake water. But it smells like something. It doesn't smell like water. It doesn't smell like a bubbling brook. It smells like...
whatever.
A substance. Yeah, a difference. And it probably is. So that's what's going through those... look at that babbling brook. Because otherwise, you get the fly rod out. It'd be a nice little spot. Probably something alive in there.
I don't think you would want to eat it.
No, you wouldn't want to eat it.
Whatever it was that was living in that. Yeah, maybe it's champagne. Maybe it's Cristal that's flowing through that river. All right, so we'll keep you updated on the match.
Whether you like it or not, I won't keep you updated at all.
I'll have my eyes trained on the match. A couple of news items before I get to again, I started a nice Twitter conversation today. There's going to be a through line of the Lou Marsh Award today. We're going to talk about the Lou Marsh Award with a couple of different guests, including the chair of the Lou Marsh Award Committee, Damian Cox, yes. After the bottom of the hour.
Yes,
And he was the one that organized that dramatic tie last year, and I still don't know how he did it.
It was completely legit. I was involved. It was completely legit.
Sure, sure. I want a forensic accounting of that.
But I think it was a good outcome. You can't argue with that. But, Damian has become the keeper of the flame. He's the man now, and of course, now that there is controversy, he is the man that has to deal with it.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. Because there was a couple of soccer stories I wanted to get to briefly. One is that this doesn't apply to Canada because Canada is so good. They're going to finish in the top three of CONCACAF here and qualify for the World Cup without this being an issue. But if perhaps there is a stubbing of the toe.
Yes.
In the coming weeks, there was good news today because that fourth place CONCACAF qualifier will not have to play South America. They will play Oceania.
Yes. It's not Oceania. It's Oceania.
Oceania.
Like an ocean.
Which is, it no longer has Australia in it. So that means that it's likely New Zealand, which Canada would be heavily favored against.
Yeah, no, this is actually, it's one of the things where we hope we don't have to talk about this because we hope Canada finishes in the top three and that's then there's automatic qualification. Right now they're on top of the tables and there's every reason to believe that they could still finish top three. But there's a big drop. If you look at the tables, there's a big gap between four and five, right? They're not going to finish fifth.
No, they're not. They've clinched a top four spot, okay? It's not happening. They're not finishing below Panama.
No. So, no, they're not. So that means that in a worst-case scenario, they are going to finish fourth, and then they would almost certainly play New Zealand in a one-game playoff in Qatar, right? And on a neutral field, a neutral pitch with the winner going to the World Cup. And Canada, yeah, you should say they would be heavily favored. So this is a bit of an insurance policy, I guess, because it could have been, I forget what the acronym is for South America, but it's Conmebol.
Conmebol.
Yeah, that's something. It's one of those two where they could have wound up facing like Uruguay, which would be much tougher. So, yeah, this is pretty good news, actually. Again, I'm confident they're going to finish in the top three, but if they don't and finish fourth, they're still going to go to the World Cup.
Yeah, and God knows this program's never had massive disappointments in one-off situations. I'm confident they're going to finish in the top three, Stephen.
I think the Solomon Islands might knock New Zealand off. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know anything about the depth of Oceania.
Yes. Anybody wondering? Australia is not in Oceania. It used to be in Oceania, and they just won it all the time. And then they moved to Asia. Mm-hmm. They were moved to the Asian Federation, which is much tougher. But they would be a much tougher out.
Yes.
So Canada did lose to Australia in the playoff leading up to the 98 World Cup, I believe.
Right. Craig Forrest was on that team.
Yeah. And that it was two matches though, right? This is one.
This is a one off at a neutral site.
Yeah, one off at a neutral site. So it'd be in June. So if it happens, it'll be an event. And I hope it's on Sportsnet. it'd be, one game to the World Cup, but I don't think they're gonna need it.
Fingers crossed. The road to the World Cup doesn't look nearly as easy for Italy or Portugal. They were drawn into this same group. So Italy's going to play North Macedonia, Portugal against Turkey, and the winners of those will play each other for one berth in the World Cup. So we could have Italy out of the World Cup, winning the Euro, and then back out of the World Cup, Stephen.
Yeah, it's kind of like the anti-Spain, right? Like Spain won all three, right? They ran the table in the three, but that moment, because it's going to happen, right? That. Mm-hmm. Italy v. Portugal for one slot in the World Cup that will divide this city.
Yes.
Elements of this city. Like there are streets. Or you'll know exactly where the DMZ is going to be, right? Between the two. So there's that, which will be fun. Uh-huh. And then there's Sid. Of course, I immediately thought of Sid.
Of course.
And I know people enjoy watching Leaf games with Dangle, right? Yeah. This has become a thing because you can watch Dangle, especially in the playoffs last year, you could watch Dangle suffer. Mm-hmm. I get that. That would be pleasurable. But watching Sid, watching a one-off playoff between Italy and Portugal.
Oh, it'd be electric.
If they haven't thought of that yet here already, it's kind of alternate programming,
Alternate streams.
I suggest that somebody get on that right away.
Yes, That's a multi-million dollar idea. And perhaps our producer, Mike Gentile, can fill the role of the Italian content.
Yes, as the Italian, yeah. Mike Gentile.
We'll see. That'll be a scene, though. All right. To the topic du jour, the Lou Marsh Award, which will be awarded December 8th. And you're part of the voting committee, but you cannot vote in absentia. Yes. So you won't be a part of this year's awards.
No, because I'm going to be in a parts unknown for recreationally. But I know that seems like a lot of recreation in a month for one person. But the hell with you.
Yeah, we've been over this. This is all backlog vacation.
So I'm going to be saying, and you can't do it. Like, they will do it virtually, but I think I'm going to be somewhere where I can't do it virtually. Normally, they have a room, an actual room where people sit together, and then they branched out a little bit, so they allowed people to phone in to bring people in from other parts of Canada, because it was a very Toronto thing. It used to be the Toronto newspaper award for the Canadian best athlete, or actually the Toronto Star award for the best Canadian athlete. Then they let other newspapers in. That was a big deal. But it is, they broadened their base tremendously in the last few years, and our pal Damien has done a very good job, kind of making it more inclusive and a more diverse and a bigger group.
And fixing the results.
Fixing the results. But so this year, maybe I'll find a way. But it's a very cool one, because the debate is always really interesting. We never reveal what happens behind. It's like the Hockey Hall of Fame, right? You never actually tell people what happens. But there are kind of voting blocks, and there's the amateur versus the pros, and the... this is an Olympic year. Usually Olympians win in an Olympic year. And then there are eligibility issues.
Yeah.
Like there was the one, there's the debate about if you drive a car, is that the same as playing baseball? But the eligibility one has come up several times. This is a particularly fascinating iteration, though.
Yes. Okay. So, and I brought this up just because it occurred to me as I was thinking of topics to talk about today. But apparently this is a conversation that has already taken place through email threads that you have been a part of, that Vladimir Guerrero Jr., born in Montreal, Quebec.
Has a Canadian passport.
Had no choice in the matter. He's a Canadian citizen. Would he be eligible for this award? And it was deigned that yes, he would be eligible as a Canadian citizen because, well, one, he's Canadian, and two, he has not participated at any international level, I guess, with the Dominican Republic. It was revealed to me, though, that he has won the inaugural Juan Marichal Award as the best player from the Dominican Republic. But he's an interesting case study. Like, obviously, tremendous, tremendous year. Second best baseball player in the American League, but second best baseball player in all of baseball, behind a historic, historic season. But it's an Olympic year, as you mentioned. I mean, it's an interesting case study. Say it was not an Olympic year. Say he was like the obvious candidate. Would you have qualms about handing it to Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
I can tell you it would be a vigorous debate, right? And look, the reason I was brought into this conversation at a certain point before they made their declaration was that I argued for Lennox Lewis throughout Lennox Lewis's career, because he never won. He should have. There were a lot of people in the room. I'm trying to remember if he was ever officially allowed in, or if people just, because you can make your own choice too. Like, you can decide he could be eligible, and you can say, well, I don't think he's eligible.
Right.
I don't think he should be the Canadian Athlete of the Year. Lennox Lewis, for all intents and purposes, grew up in Kitchener, came over here when he was 9 or 10 years old and represented Canada in the Olympic Games and won a gold medal for Canada in the Olympic Games. They played the anthem, the whole bit. And, he went off to ply his professional trade for commercial reasons in England, because he could make more money wrapping himself in the Union Jack. But it's not, his mom still lives here, right? And there were people who said, no, he's not a Canadian because when he fought for the world heavyweight title, they played God Save the Queen. So, I'm trying to remember whether he was, I think he was deemed eligible, but I think there were people in the room who chose not to vote for him because they decided he wasn't Canadian enough. That's what's going to happen here. I don't think people are going to be able to wrap their heads around Vladdy as a Canadian, because, he's not.
He's not a Canadian. He lives here during the season, obviously. He makes his off-season home in the Dominican Republic when they have the international broadcast of the television of these baseball games, where they actually put the flags.
Yeah.
It's the DR next to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. It's not the Maple Leaf. quite clearly. And I think if you asked Vladimir Guerrero Jr., like he, I'm sure, has great affinity for the country of Canada, and yeah, maybe a great affinity for the city of Montreal, and we've all seen the famous photo of him as a little portly kid with the afro, doffing the cap, wearing the Expos jersey. But yeah, he's not Canadian. He's not.
And then whenever they have the next World Baseball Classic, sadly, he will not be fighting Freddie Freeman for the places the Canada's first baseman. Like, that's not happening, right? He's going to play for the Dominican. Mm-hmm. And if he didn't, he wouldn't be able to go home. Yeah. Like, they take that seriously there.
Yes, they do.
So it's kind of a neat thing, and it'll be fun, you know, for a little bit in the room. And, you know, if you were, you know, absolutely Canadian, it would be an interesting, you know, it's always an apples and oranges debate, right? Like, how do you weigh an Olympic decathlon gold medal with Damian Warner, for instance, versus a guy who, you know, would have been the MVP in any other season.
Yeah.
You know, as a ball player, it's like, how do you do that? It's, you know, it's always a kind of a funny choice, but what I will say is nine times out of 10, but in Olympic years, Olympians win.
Yes.
They just do. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I'd be shocked if a Canadian Olympian doesn't win.
Well, there's some very deserving Olympians.
Yeah, and there are, right?
Holy cow. Like, yeah, Damian Warner, I feel like they don't put odds on these things, and rightly so, because, you know, I think people could easily be influenced there. But I would say that Damian Warner is probably the favorite going into this thing.
Well, if I were there, I would vote for him. Mm-hmm. Now, as I think I've talked about on the show, like, I spent a lot of time thinking about decathlon once upon a time in my life when I was working on a book with Michael Smith. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, you know, had to kind of learn the sport and learn the event. And, you know, we did used to, you know, it was universally referred to as though, you know, the guy, person who wins the decathlon is the world's greatest athlete. Mm-hmm. Canadians never won a gold medal, and he won it going away with a crazy score. And you know, I know there are all Olympic medals are Olympic medals, but to me, that one's different. You know, that one's different. So
he's the world's greatest athlete.
Yeah, I think so. And I would acknowledge that. Like, I think I would acknowledge that with this award. I think he'd be a great winner. But, you know, look, I guarantee you there'll be other names come up.
Yeah, it's tough. The women's gold medal soccer team was obviously a massive, massive moment, and it captured our attention.
But teams cannot win.
Well, that's it. I mean, who do you pick out of there? It's not, you're not going to take Christine Sinclair and say that this is her time to win the Lou Marsh Award because she was a secondary figure on that team.
Well, that's right. And, you know, that's been a debate as well. Like, people have tried within the context of the meeting to nominate a team, mm-hmm. and it's explicitly not part of the rules. Even
Soleil and Pelche won.
And I'm trying to remember how that happened. I don't think I was there for that meeting, but that, you know, because skating pairs didn't qualify. That's one of the, you know, you had to separate them, and you can't, of course you can't. So they're, you know, now the Canadian press.
How could that partnership exist after that if Soleil had just won?
That would have been great, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, and that other guy.
Yeah.
You know, Canadian Press has a Team of the Year award.
Yeah.
And I assume the women's national team will win that award, although the men's national team will give them a bit of a run for their money, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's an interesting, you know, it'll be the women's team this year for sure. Mm-hmm. But they do. They have a male and female athlete of the year award, whereas the Lou Marsh award does not distinguish between men and women, so...
Oh, before we move off of this, I shouldn't spring this on you, but there is also a Tip O'Neill Award as the best Canadian baseball player.
Yes, there is.
Which I'm sure Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is eligible for that.
Like it depends. That's through the Hall of Fame, right? I think that's the Canadian. And yeah. I wonder how they're going to do that. I'd be certainly tempted if I was them. Let's be honest here. Freddie Freeman's no more Canadian than Vladdy.
Yeah.
Right?
Correct.
You know, his parents are Canadian, but he's not like he spent any time in Canada.
Joey Votto had a great year this year.
Yeah, he did. He's had lot of them.
Yeah,
right?
And he's got a few Tip O'Neill awards.
He does.
But yeah, I think I don't know. I'm less precious about that award. I'm not precious about either, to be honest. But I'm less precious about the Tip O'Neill award. I think that would kind of be almost a cooler thing for Vladdy to win that award.
Yeah, I think it would be very well. Again, they'd be tempted. Like, if I was one of the folks on that, I would be very tempted.
Well, there's a lot of non-Canadians in the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, right? Like, it is not, you do not have to be Canadian to go into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame. Roy Halladay is in the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame. There's lots of non-Canadians in there. So that's why I kind of associate, like, if there's any way to get a non-Canadian to win this award, I'm not necessarily against.
Yes, I think that will be an interesting, again, I think it's more likely that he wins that award than that he wins this award. Now, do we want to get into the whole Lou Marsh part of the Lou Marsh here?
Well, okay. Do you want to do this now, or do you want to wait to talk to Damian?
We might as well tee it up because Cox is coming on. But this has turned into a bit of a thing, and it's, you know, and this is, look, it's a worthy discussion, I got to say.
Mm-hmm.
So Lou Marsh was the editor of the sports editor of the Toronto Star. He's also a very influential sports columnist way back when, right? So kind of one of those, the voice of the city in terms of sports in a lot of ways. And he died quite young. And this award was obviously named in his honor. But a conversation has arisen, and I'm not sure entirely where it originated, but it's like a lot of things. People are looking at history and saying, hang on a second, why is the street named after this person? You know, there's some stuff in Lou Marsh's personal history. And again, you know, you can put it in context if you like, but the big one is in 1936, when the Olympic Games were held in Berlin and became a Nazi propaganda exercise. There were a group of athletes, Canadian athletes, including the fighter, Sammy Lefspring for sure, I think Baby Yak too, the two Jewish-Canadian boxers, who, rather than going to Berlin to participate, because again, some of the things that were happening in Nazi Germany were known to the world at that point, participated instead in what was called the People's Olympiad that was held in Barcelona. So there was an alternate Olympic Games in 1936. And Lou Marsh came down kind of on the wrong side of history here and suggested that, you know, that they shouldn't go there and that, you know, it was kind of, you know, no big deal to go to Berlin and things weren't as bad as people said they were or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. So then there's, you know, and there's a, you know, definitely an undertone of anti-Semitism in some of what he wrote. So that's a tricky one, right? Because his name's on the award. Everybody knows it by that name. Most people have no idea who he was.
No.
But I think, yeah, that's, you know, and, you know, Dumo will talk about, you know, kind of what they're going to do now. But it's, look, I think it's a conversation that should be had, you know, especially because of the 1936 stuff, because that's an episode in history that very few people know about.
Right.
That idea that, you know, there were athletes who said no.
I was alerted to it for the first time just a couple of weeks ago when you mentioned it.
Yeah, it's a really, and again, I encourage people to take a look it up, read about it. Because again, in 1936, people knew what was going on. Again, not the death camps, but they knew what was going on in Germany. And, you know, Canada's Olympic team marched through the stadium in Berlin and offered up the salute to their Führer. Like many of them did, right? Because they're being polite, good Canadian people being polite. But there were athletes who said, no, we're not going because of the persecution of Jews in Germany. And again, it's kind of a footnote, and we all now, you know, everybody now knows what 1936 turned into, and they've, you know, the Leni Riefenstahl film, and all of the, you know, the fact that the Olympics were transformed into this propaganda exercise. They invented the torch relay in 1936. The Germans invented that because they, you know, understand the kind of the visual power of that stuff, the symbolism of it, and, you know, turned it into kind of a master race rally. You know, that's kind of how they, you know, people know the Jesse Owens part of that story, but, you know, the Germans invented a lot of the symbolism and pageantry that we now think is just the Olympics in 36, and they did it for their own purposes. But there were some principled and brave athletes who said, we're not going. Mm-hmm. We're going to do something else. We're going to this other, you know, now. And obviously what happened to Spain right after that was the Spanish Civil War, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, look it up. Lou Marsh was on the wrong side. There may be other stuff that they dig up in terms of his views. And, you know, maybe his views were of those times. But, you know, that's probably, you know, I'm not sure that you get a pass for that.
Yeah, I this one feels like an easy one that, I haven't seen in my Twitter feed. And granted, the information I choose to call in my Twitter feed is one-sided. Quite often.
Yeah.
It's my silo, but I don't know who, and maybe the Marsh family has an opinion on this. I haven't seen it yet, but this one seems like, and we don't have to revisit, we don't have to relitigate everything. And yes, the times were different 100 years ago, definitely, but this one seems like an easy fix.
I think so, you know, and it is an easy fix. Now they, you know, Damian, they've hired somebody to, you know, an independent party, an academic.
It'll be the Lou Marsh Award this year because
it will.
This is not, the study apparently is not going to be wrapped up before the new year.
No. And I think that's okay. You know, like I think, you know, again, maybe somebody should have figured this out years ago. But in this moment, rather than changing the name of it in 2 weeks before the award, I think being thoughtful about it and being, you know, kind of having some kind of a process is the right way to go.
We'll hear from the chair of the Lou Marsh Award Committee next, Damian Cox, as the Fan Drive Time continues. Ben Ennis, Stephen Brunt, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Drive Time, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Ben Ennis and Stephen Brunt. And in the Toronto Star today, you can read a story headlined, "Questions over Lou Marsh shouldn't overshadow this year's race to decide Canada's top athlete." Let's talk to the author of that article and chair of the Lou Marsh Award Committee. It is Damian Cox. How's it going, Damian?
Gentlemen, good to talk to you. It's been a while since I've been on this particular program, so this is fun.
Yeah, well, you're welcome here anytime. You know, that's
you've been on the station. I've heard you a couple of times the last couple of weeks on the station, though.
I know Jeff Merrick has been kind enough to, and quickly, I think he's found out. I still have nothing to say, and so I think he's going to dust me off his list.
Before we get into the meat of this, can Stephen vote from his computer from a beach in a couple of weeks?
Stephen Brunt can vote wherever, whenever he wants. He knows he's one of those guys who's been, you know, doing this for so long. He gets carte blanche in terms of what he wants to do. I assume if he does vote, it'll be with a fishing pole in one hand and a beer in the other.
Well, normally you guys are it's very rigid. Like, you can't mail in your vote ahead of time, right? You can't. There's no proxies, right? Like, they used to have to be kind of in the room, and I know you've loosened that up a fair bit, but. And of course, now it's all virtual, of course, for one more year. But I thought these rules were very strict because I may be able to, you know, somewhere within within Wi-Fi range. If I am, I will.
We'll discuss this.
Okay.
We'll discuss this. Among other important matters, we'll discuss.
Yeah, that's maybe down the list. Although the rules are, the rules of this, the rules of the Lou Marsh are ever evolving, I would say. Is that fair enough?
Well, I mean, that's true. And, I mean, you've been doing this longer than I have. So you go back to when it really was just a few guys sitting around in a room. And now it's evolved and changed. And really, I think the athletes, the choices we have, I mean, this year is quite incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The choices of the athletes and the achievements we have. Once it was Wayne Gretzky and maybe an Olympic athlete going up against Wayne Gretzky. Now, I mean, I can rattle off a dozen pretty good candidates pretty quickly. So I think this year will be very interesting.
It will, and we'll get to that in a second. But let's we just teed up this discussion around Lou Marsh, the person, before the break, Damian. When did this discussion and the thought of maybe changing the name? When did this first come up?
So this has been kicking around for some time. I don't know. I can't speak to exactly how long. At least 5 years, probably longer than that. So it's not new. It's been brought up in different forums. And it mostly has to do with a lot of similar kinds of stories in these days. And that is reviewing the legacy of a person, male or female, and saying, maybe that person's not quite exactly what we thought they were or what we'd like them to be if they're associated with some sort of public award or a building or a statue or whatever. And that's what's happened with Lou Marsh. I mean, a number of concerns have been raised, and I think it's pretty much time that we, as a group, as the Lou Marsh Organizing Committee and the Toronto Star, which is the main sponsor of the award, need to have a good, serious look at it and really make sure we're doing the right thing for the athletes. The primary objective of this whole thing is to honor the athletes, not to honor Lou Marsh. He's long gone, and it's about what is the best way to honor our athletes. And if Lou Marsh and keeping his name on the trophy is the best way to do that, we'll do that. And if changing the name is the best way to do it, then we'll do that.
So talk, and I talk a little bit, Domo, about what you guys have decided to do and, you know, what happens. Like, I know you've commissioned somebody to study the issue and to kind of dig into the kind of history of Lou Marsh and put it into context. But then what?
Yeah, then what? That's a great question. And I don't have an exact answer for you. So Dr. Janice Forsyth at Western University wrote a very critical article about Lou Marsh earlier this year, and I think it appeared in the National Post at one point. And so I contacted her to say, okay, let's talk about this, not to argue with her, but say, well, what are you thinking? What's your information? What's your evidence? And so we had a great conversation, and then very quickly it moved to, well, you know, she and a colleague of hers at McMaster University were already looking to study the Lou Marsh issue as part of their usual work. And I said, well, why don't we do this together? Why don't we look at this and then have some kind of report? But that's what we're going to do. She's going to head the thing and I'm going to help out, and then we'll have a report that may have recommendations. But I think it is a great question, Stephen, and that is, then what? You know, and I guess the answer is, I guess it depends what it says. Mm-hmm. These are hard, hard questions. And I know that there are people out there who want to jump up and yell up and down and say, do this right now, and there's only one thing to do. I would submit to you two, and you guys have been around long enough to know, it's a little more complicated than that. And even more than that, this is an award that's been given out for 85 years. And a lot of great athletes have won it. And winning the Lou Marsh as a phrase means something in this country. And I think we need to take some care if we're going to do anything with that. And that's what I hope we're going to do.
The study will not be completed, obviously, before the award is handed out for this year.
No.
Was there ever a thought about the timing to maybe have this completed and maybe have whatever decision or whatever is next done before December 8th?
Yeah, Ben, I mean, I think in an ideal world, we would have done this earlier this year. It just doesn't happen that way. I mean, or it didn't happen that way. And maybe that's my fault. Maybe I should have been, you know, jumping on this earlier in the year. You know, as we've seen with Sir Johnny McDonald or Egerton Ryerson or the Edmonton Eskimos, these things tend to move slowly and kind of with a lot of reluctance. Because while you or I or Stephen may want to see things change and be more progressive, there's a lot of people out there who don't want to see things change, who think we're going way out of our way now to change to what how they see is changing history. So trying to find the middle ground there is a little tough. I'm disappointed that this is coming up now, because we're just a couple of weeks away from doing that. And I guess, like I say, I guess that's on me, that, you know, if we'd been doing something in the spring, then maybe we could have answers now. But that's not the case. So on the other hand, I don't want to just do a rush thing right now just to make a couple of people happy. So instead, we're going to take our time, hopefully have something by the spring, hopefully make some decisions moving forward. And I don't think this, I know we're not going to make everybody happy. That I know for sure. Mm-hmm. But hopefully we'll have something that we're going to work with in the fall.
Well, and this is just it. Like, I was unaware of the history of Lou Marsh and who he was as a person and his history as a journalist. I imagine I'm not alone here, but now it's become a much more public record here. I mean, you're writing about it in the Star. We're talking about it here on this radio station. The athlete who receives this award is going to be probably more likely aware of who Lou Marsh was, Damien, and might have some qualms about even receiving that award, which I see as a potential problem.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you, but I think the point of this whole thing is I don't think we really actually know who Lou Marsh was or exactly what he said about a whole bunch of things. So part of what this study is going to do is we're actually going to dig into everything he ever wrote for the Toronto Star and try to understand, okay, you know, was this a couple of things? Was this a constant thing, the use of certain racial phrases? There's three areas. There's using language that would no longer be applicable in the use of the Toronto Star or anywhere else. How much of that was it? Was it mean-spirited? Was it targeted? All those sorts of things. Was it a, you know, and again, these are kind of nebulous terms. I understand that, but we're going to take a look at it. There was his association with Tom Longboat, the famous Indigenous runner. What was their relationship exactly? Some say they were friends, that Lou Marsh helped Tom Longboat. Others say, well, that's not exactly the way it was. Well, hopefully we're going to try to come up with some answers. And finally, and I think there's some, you know, it's about, there's questions about the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, and his opposition to a boycott of that. Now, that's a fascinating one, because even in these times, there are people who are calling for a boycott of these coming Olympics in China. And if you are in opposition to that, what does that mean? Well, what we know is back in 1936, when Canada still had diplomatic relations with Nazi Germany, when Mackenzie King went to Germany, met Hitler and said, yep, he's our kind of guy. At that time, most of Canadian newspapers and most Canadian sports writers opposed an Olympic boycott. Not all. Elmer Ferguson, who people might know, the award given to people annual at the Hall of Fame, writers at the Hall of Fame, is named in honor of Elmer Ferguson. He said we should not go, but he was in the minority. So what did Marsh say about that? What did he write about that? Some people have said that was an anti-Semitic gesture. Let's try to get some information. So I guess that's a long-winded answer of to you saying, you know, now what we know about Lou Marsh. Well, what I would say to you is we actually don't know a whole lot. And to me, that's the point of this whole thing is let's get some facts. Let's put them all on things so me and you and Stephen can sit down and a whole bunch of other people and try to make some sort of reasoned decision here.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, look, I commend you. Like, I think the process, I think that's a great way to do it. And I think next spring or whenever it is, it'll be a really interesting and vigorous discussion, and it'll be educational for a whole lot of people. And, you know, we'll see what conclusions are drawn. But, I welcome that discussion whenever it happens, Donald. So that's, I think it's the right, you're going the right route on this thing. So that's my vote.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, there are already people who are saying, why are you dragging your heels? What's there to be discussed? And that's okay. But, you know, and the one thing I would say is, you know, Stephen, you probably wrote things 30 years ago and that you wish you hadn't wrote. And I'm not saying of this kind of thing, but I know there are things I think differently. If you had every single word put up in the public forum, would it stand the test? Everything you ever said, there were things we used to say as kids growing up that, my God, we would never say now. So should we that be held to account to us? I mean, these are really interesting problems that are going to go beyond Lou Marsh. You know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. And, you know, but also, if you look back in the history of that, especially that part of the 20th century, there's a strong, strong streak of anti-Semitism. You know, in this community and in the people who ran this community, and you know, like there's, you know, you just referenced the Mackenzie King thing, but there's, and you know, if that is there, that should also be acknowledged. So yeah, like, look, let the process happen. So, okay, I will now pivot to the somewhat less serious controversy you guys are dealing with or discussion. Cause I've been involved in one of these before, but
I know where we're going now.
Yeah, no, you know where I come down, but it is probably news to some people listening to this show that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is eligible to be named Canada's Athlete of the Year. I know there was a kind of a thought process behind this one, Damien, and we've dealt with sort of similar stuff in the past, but kind of walk us through this one.
You know, and you know me well enough, Stephen, to know I am the last person who does this bureaucratic stuff, this stuff very well. And so here I am now trying to fumble around with a whole bunch of issues that I've never had to deal with before. But so with this one, it came a couple of people said they wanted to. What we decided to do a little bit this year was try to nominate all our. Usually we nominate people at the meeting. We're trying to nominate people before. And all of a sudden, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s name started coming in. And I said, well, he's not eligible. Until I quickly looked and said, born in Montreal, had or has a Canadian passport, is, I believe, still a Canadian citizen, and has never played internationally for anyone. This is interesting, particularly since I don't think, and you know him better than I do, and maybe I'd be interested in your point of view. I don't think he considers himself a Canadian. I think he considers himself a Dominican.
No, it's the only thing. The only thing I ever heard about that, Domos, that when I remember talking to Alex Anthopoulos about the first trip he went down, when he went down to the Dominican to see him, and he went and visited Vladdy's mother, and she pulled out quite proudly. It was either his birth certificate or his passport.
Yeah.
So I remember that story.
Yeah. So I mean, I've not spoken to him about it. So we do have some rules. We kept them as skeletal as possible. And basically, he qualifies. So I think this is one of those things where, I mean, I could come down, or our steering committee could say he's eligible, he's not eligible, and no, you can't vote for him. I think we'll leave this one to the voters. We are going to have 35 or so people vote on December 8th. I'm going to leave it to them. If they believe that Vladimir Guerrero embodies everything that we want for the winner of Canada's Athlete of the Year, then he'll win. And if they don't, he won't. I do think that, you know, I mean, we saw it last year with Alphonso Davies, who was born in Ghana and ended up here. We saw it with Daniel Igali. We've seen it with Kaylee Humphries, who won the Lou Marsh, I believe is still a Canadian citizen, but now competes for the U.S. I mean, the citizenship is a tricky, tricky issue. I know you fought long and hard for Lennox Lewis and that whole situation. We went through the whole Greg Ruzetsky thing back in the 90s. You know, it's not cut and dry, but for the purposes of our meeting on December 8th, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is eligible to win the 2021 Lou Marsh Trophy.
I'll tell you, if he wins, it'll surprise the hell out of him. Yeah. That's the one thing I do know.
Yeah, well, and you know what? It'll surprise me, too, because when you look around at some of the achievements, like Damian Warner, Andre DeGrasse, you know, Stephanie Labbé, the whole Canadian women's soccer team, Layla Fernandez. I mean, I could just go on and on and on about something. And Stephen, you've been around this long enough. One of the complaints of used to be, it's always hockey players. I mean, Connor McDavid he won the Hart Trophy, the scoring title. He's having another incredible year. He's going to play for Canada at the Olympics. And you don't hear a lot of people saying, well, should be a serious candidate for the Lou Marsh Trophy. This is stiff, stiff competition just to be in the, you know, among the finalists. So I think it'll, who are you going to vote for, by the way, Steve? Are you going to tell me?
I will tell you. You know why? Because I've talked about it here. I will vote for Damian Warner because I believe that the decathlon is the greatest test of an athlete that there is. And, you know, again, this is informed a little bit by the time I spent around Michael Smith on a book project that never came to fruition, but I watched a lot of decathlon for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I think that notion of the world's greatest athlete still applies. So there's a lot of candidates here, right? You're right. It's an unbelievable year, but I've always kind of, you know, the moment when a Canadian won the decathlon, I thought Michael was going to do it for a while. You know, Dave Steen was great. But boy, when you stand alone after those 2 days, I don't think there's anything bigger than that.
And you know what? I get that argument. And I also get the argument that you can make the argument that Andre DeGrasse is the fastest man in the world. Mm-hmm. And we've had that argument with Donovan Bailey. If it's the one sport everybody can compete in, and everybody does do because everybody runs. And if you're the fastest, then that makes you. But now we look at sports like what do we do with the women's soccer team where there's four or five legitimate, outstanding performances? Or how about the men's soccer team with what they're doing? So, and then, of course, how about Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? I think it'll be an interesting argument. And then, and hopefully, just to get back to the other thing, and I know you guys probably got to go, but, I mean, I really hope that people want to get upset about the name of the trophy. It really doesn't matter. It's not about Lou Marsh. It's about the athletes. And my goodness, we've got some incredible athletes to talk about this year.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Damian, appreciate the time. Let's do it again sometime.
All right, now, I was going to say, Steven said I'm welcome anytime. So I'll see you guys on, next Thursday, same time, something like that?
Yeah, come down and see us. You know the way.
I believe so. Hey, guys, thanks a lot.
See you, Dama.
See you, Damian. Damian Cox, chair of the Lou Marsh Award Committee, and they will be voting and handing out the award on December 8th. And yeah, Connor McDavid's not going to win. He'll just have to be satisfied with being featured in Architectural Digest.
Yeah, wait, that's so different. It's interesting with hockey players in this. I know. Yes, I'm not going to criticize his interior decorating, but it is amusing. For a hockey player to win this award, you have to be the best player on earth. Period. Mm-hmm. Like you have to like say this is a hockey country. It's all hockey. Look at the list.
Yeah.
Look at the list of Lou Marsh Award winners. I think there have been people who would argue that they have the committee. Or the voters have gone out of their way not to pick hockey players over the years.
Hasn't been one since Carey Price won in 2015, and then before him it was Sidney Crosby in 2009.
Yes.
We've made some pretty impressive hockey players over that span, yeah. And Connor McDavid has never won the award.
No, and he is the best player on earth.
There is very little doubt about that.
Like, look, you could make a hell of a case for him, right now. Now, it's a weird award for things like hockey because, of course, it's the back end of one season and the beginning of another.
Yeah.
Because it's the calendar year.
Well, I find it weird also that it is voted on before the end of the year. Like, the Academy Awards are handed out in February because the year has concluded, and I know there's only...
What's in December? There's a phony baloney golf, right? Like, what else is happening in December?
I don't know. I mean, what if Connor McDavid puts up 20 goals in the month of December.
Well, that's
what if he did that? What if he had 10 the 10 point game? What if he knocked off Daryl Sittler?
Call Damian again. He needs something else. We need another controversy. that would be up the three. That would be third on the list, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know. Just seems weird that you would just wait another month to do that. But yeah, no. As much as it seems like an obvious, clear cut thing, and yes, it matters because it. This, we could uncover that this was actually a series of different things, and he was different than the other journalists of the time, and that his name should be removed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, like me, I think most people are like me, who just saw the Lou Marsh Award, barely even knew who the guy was, assumed he was a newspaper writer, did not associate him, the person, with the award. You just thought Lou Marsh Award means best Canadian athlete of the year. So in that regard, it shouldn't matter. The biggest fear I have, though, is that, yeah, like we figure this thing out down the line, or that the recipient of this thing really understands the history and the question marks that we have about him, and that it sullies the experience for that athlete.
Yeah. Well, again, I'll support the process because mm-hmm. I think that's the right. I think they're doing it the right way. I honestly do. And maybe it should have happened 3 years ago. But Damian essentially acknowledged that, so I'll give him credit for that. Let's go through this exercise.
Well, that's it.
I think that's the way to do it. And let's have this discussion next spring. And then by next fall, it may be something else.
Yeah, I'm. If I had to wager, I would say that it is going to be something else.
Be my guess, too.
But yeah, people want swift justice, right? They want their immediate gratification. They see the potential of this, and it's been adjudicated by a lot of people in their own minds. And, I put my hand up. I'm a little bit guilty of it as well because I've just seen some of the anecdotes, which are... Like they catch your eye to be
they
sure,
do.
Steven.
They do. Yeah. There's no look. I'm not disagreeing, but I think to do it right and to fully put it in context. Again, I'm not trying to, be defensive about it. But let's have a real conversation, not a Twitter conversation about it.
Yeah, and not even a radio conversation about
it. Exactly.
Yeah. So we shall see. We'll talk to another voter of the Lou Marsh Award from across the pond. Staying up late for us, almost midnight in Madrid, Spain. That's where we find our next guest.
That's when they have dinner in Madrid, Spain.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right, so chomping on some tapas is Arash Madani covering the Davis Cup. We'll talk to him next as the fan drive time continues. Ben Ennis, Stephen Brunt, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.